Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Everybody there say, "I." One little verse right there. It says, "And he said to them, be careful." Wow, a lot of times he's saying, "Fear not," but now he says, "Be careful." Be careful what you are hearing. Be careful what you are hearing. Be careful what you are hearing. King James, New King James says, "Be careful," he said, "or take heed what you hear." Take heed. Pay attention. Listen carefully. And he said to them, "Be careful what you're hearing." He says, "The measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear." That's the Amplified Bible. It says, "The measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear." It says, be careful what you hear, because with the measure that you use what you hear, it will be measured to you. So it says, pay attention to what you hear, because the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth you hear will be the measure that of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. So there's sometimes people hear, but then they don't give any thought or attention to what they hear. And what they heard had power to bring a manifestation of God's purpose in their lives. But it says the measure that you walk in, the revelation that you received, is directly related to the measure of thought and study that you give to the word that you received. Now, every blessing is yours. Every good thing comes from the Father of lights, and he's the giver of every good gift. But when the word comes, the kingdom works by sowing and reaping. And it's sowing and reaping of the word. It says, be careful what you do with the word. It's not because the word is dangerous. It's because the word is powerful, and you need to give attention to it. You need to give study to it. You need to give thought to it. Because when you get that in your heart and you meditate on that, it begins to manifest powerfully in your life. So get into the word, get the revelation of the word, and you're going to, it says there's two types of people. There's the hears and the hear nots. Basically, it there's hears and hear nots. There can even be born again people who don't hear properly. You know, you can be a hear not, even being born again, you can be a hear not. You can be spiritually deaf because you're not trying to apply the revelation that God has given you. So go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Man, I almost need an intermission. That was too much jumping around for me right there. Man, I don't lead worship anymore. Maybe I should. It'd be a good workout once a week. Remember, we had 1 year, we had 26 weeks of revival meetings 1 year, and I led worship morning and night, like 6 days a week, 12 times a week I was leading worship. Was I ever in shape back then? Man, awesome. Funny thing was, I never lost my voice, where generally if I got to speak two or three times in a row, my voice gets weak. But in that 26 weeks, I never lost my voice, singing, shouting, running, screaming. Amazing stuff. To be released, to run. Should be some running. How many felt running on your feet, but you just said, "I don't want to be awkward"? You did, didn't you? I knew you did. I knew it was you, sister, right there. Did you know we were about to have a revival, a breakthrough that would have just been taking us right through the top, but you didn't run, and so maybe next week. Thank you, Pastor. There's no condemnation of those who are in Impact Church, who run not after the Spirit. Luke chapter 6. Just checking to see if I'm in the right place. Am I in the right place? I'm sure I'm in the right place. Yes, I am. There you go. Verse 38. Look what it says. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Isn't that interesting? Same phrase that was used with the word. The measure that you use the word, that same measure, the word will work in your life. Now, here's the same thing with finances. Here's the same thing with anything, any principle that is. The measure that you sow, the measure that you engage, the measure that you get involved with the principle, to that same measure, it's going to manifest in your life. You know, so right here, look, it says, give, and it will be given to you. How many would like to have some things given to them? How many would like to see men and other people coming and pouring things into your bosom? I mean, more than you can handle, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. It says that all begins with give, and it begins with the measure that you use, the same measure is measured back to you. So, I mean, if you use little thimblefuls, then it's thimblefuls coming back. But, you know, to the degree, to the measure that you do it, it works. You see, God is the one who is blessing you. Don't deceive yourself and think, oh, I've done this. Look what I've done. God will blow you away. Whatever you think you've been able to achieve with your small little world and mind and ability, with God's super on your natural, you could live in wild, super crazy abundance and breakthrough. And so that's why we teach this, because we want you to get it. But we do these every week because I want you to get the word, and I don't want you to just hear it and go, oh, there's a teaching on the offering again. I want you to go, I got to start thinking about that. I wonder why the pastor keeps doing that. What, there must be something about that. How many know that we keep teaching that and it affected your life and your life's been changed because of offering teachings? See, 17 people. What would happen if all of us just said, I'm gonna find out that word for myself. What the pastor was saying in the word, I'm going to get a revelation on this because I want to live in a cycle of supernatural increase. And God wants you to. And because he wants you to, he wants me to tell you about it. So we want you to get that breakthrough in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? All right, you had envelopes in your bulletins there so you can give. If you didn't have an envelope, if you raise your hand right now, we will get you an envelope. Anybody need one right now? Looks like we're ready to go, team. Awesome. Here we go. I put my trust in you. To live by faith, I put my trust in you. As every step I take is a step of faith. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hey! Every prayer I make, it is a prayer of faith. And if my God is for me, then who can be against me? To live by faith, I put my trust in you. I walk by faith, every step that I take, you know we're gonna live. And by faith, I put my trust in you. Every step I take is a step of faith. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hey, every prayer I make, it is a prayer of faith. And if my God is for me, then who can be against me? Yeah, I walk by faith. Every step that I take, you know we're gonna live. And by faith, I put my trust in you. Hey, I walk in you. Oh, I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. Woo! 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. I walk. Oh, sorry. Felt that anointing on me, Ray. Father, we bless you. We love you. Lord, we do walk by faith. And here's a substantial manifestation right here. This is my life. It's like walking. This is my normal everyday thing to serve you, to partner with your purposes, to partner with your kingdom, to honor you with my first fruits, and to say that you're the Lord of all. This is a walk of faith that I'm in. And I know, Lord, that faith works. And I know that faith is powerful. And I know that faith brings into manifestation every promise of your word. So, Lord, here is faith tangible and in action. And so, Lord, let the wonderful promises of your word come and overflow the banks of our lives for your honor, for your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. Awesome. Let you grab your seats. Are you ready to grab your seats? All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to get walking. I see some of you get stuck in your chair. You just won't move. You got to move. You got to leave your seat to feel the heat. Don't be afraid to move around. It's all right. We're a Pentecostal church. I mean, so if your neighbor's not moving, give them a push. I free you to push and break through. Jumping into our series here again about crossroads, and this whole thing was at Christmas time coming through that intersection, the intersection that was such a big intersection in my life, a place where I know God sovereignly came down and laid hold of me, grabbed me, and delivered me from a nasty situation. But again, I just reflected and I said, how have things been going since then? Am I doing what I need to do? Am I where I should be? Have I been faithful to God's purpose and call in my life? I love what, you know, the Apostle Paul said to King Agrippa. He said, I have not been disobedient to the vision from heaven, which means you could have been, or he could have been. But he said, I got the vision. I was captivated by it, and I've been faithful to what you called me to do. And New Year's are a good time to kind of take an inventory, look at your life, and be honest and allow God's light of his word and his goodness to just shine through you and say, where am I at, Father? What's going on? And I don't want, I mean, the time between now and eternity, it matters. And I want to make sure that I'm squeezing every bit out of it and honoring God with every portion of it. So that's where this all started from. But it took me into a journey of what is God's will? People want to know what God's will is. They want to know, how do I know God's talking to me? How do I know? How can I hear his voice? So I thought, well, let's settle that once and for all and get everybody central in his purposes. And that's where all this began. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, the nearly inspired version. I mean the NIV, sorry about that. It's a dynamic version of the Bible, the translation. It says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise. Isn't that interesting? Paul, the apostle of grace and faith, and what a wonderful gospel. He's saying, be careful then how you live. As if now I got a responsibility to being redeemed. Gee, maybe I do. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, meaning you can understand his will. And to not understand his will would be a choice of your own to remain ignorant or to remain foolish. So we want to know his will. Two basic understandings of God's will. There's the part that's God's will, exclusively his will, the part that he's going to fulfill. I tell you, nothing will move it, shake it. He's going to have his way in the end. The earth's going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. He sent his son as he said he would. There's things that God in himself determined that he would do, and he has bound himself, and you can trust him that it's exclusively his. It's sovereign and absolute, and it is determined in him. There's a second part of God's will, and it's as it relates to you and to me and to mankind. And there are things that are circumstantial. There are conditional things. There's if and there's this. There's cause and then there's, you know, the results of that action or what you've done. It says, if you do this, I will do this. I bind myself to do this. And so there's things in our lives that we have to engage in and be a part of. And we have to know God's will and begin to walk in those things. So some of God's will for your life is not automatic. It has to be worked out. It's things that you have to get in the Word. You've got to work that out. It's there for you. He's never going to withhold that from you. But it's things that you have to mature in and you have to grow in and you've got to nurture in your life. Can I get an amen? All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. See, we could not know God, relate to God, or understand God except by the spirit of God. We were dead. When Adam sinned, he died. Physically, he was still alive. Physically, he still thought, breathed, walked around, did stuff. So what died? It died was that spiritual connection that he had to the Father died. But Jesus came to restore that. It says the first Adam, he's the one who brought death. But the second Adam, he was a life-giving spirit who gave life to us, restored us to our relationship with God that is now not based on our ability or our performance, but is totally based on what he has done. And now if I'm in Christ, I have every wonderful benefit because of faith and because I believe that it's all yes and amen. Done. No more do-do-do. It's all do-do. No more do-do. It's all done. So we talked about the three baptisms you have to go through. You got to be baptized into Christ. Then you must be baptized into water. And then you must be baptized in the Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Spirit is putting you in Christ. But the baptism in the Spirit is where Jesus baptizes you in the power of the Holy Ghost. And those are three very real, distinct experiences that you go through. And to be a fully genuinely initialized believer, not just a believer. You can be a believer without being baptized in water. You can be a believer without being baptized in the Holy Ghost. But if you're going to be fully initiated and fully walking in it, you need those experiences. And yes, they are experiences. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So another, just want you to read this for me again. I put it up last week, but look what it says right here. It says, we are not filled with him like a cup is filled with water. We are not filled with him. Some people are like, I'm filled with God. That's like getting more of him. That's why sometimes I, you know, songs that say, I want more of you. And I do want more of him. But the truth is, I can't really get any more than I already got because he didn't withhold. He's given me everything. So it's kind of can make you get on this treadmill of, I want more of you, like he's holding out and he's not. But it's a nice song. So look what it says. It says, it's not like a cup being filled with water. We have the Spirit of God yoked to our very nature. We have a new DNA. We are children of God by the Spirit himself, born again, recreated, a new creation that never existed before, a new complete that never existed before, recreated individual, bam, comes into manifestation because his Spirit permeates every aspect of your being. You are literally saturated by God himself. Settle down. I know it's exciting. All right, so that's good stuff right there. 1 John 3:9, no one born of God deliberately and knowingly habitually sins, practices sin. For God's nature abides in him, his principal life, the divine sperm. I read that last week, and my son immediately, right from the service, he tweeted, I have the divine sperm. I'm sure all of his friends at Jack Astor's were like, what? So go ahead, tweet that today, freak out your friends. It's the word. The Greek word there is sperma. We have the divine sperma, the very nature of God. We've been created, recreated by God himself. Something brand new came in. I have been born again. All things passed away. Behold, all things came new. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new creation. The divine sperm remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he is born of God. If you're not born of God, you're doomed to continue sinning. If you were born of God, you were delivered from a sin nature, delivered from all corruption, delivered from the power and the control of sin, totally set free. Your whole nature, everything has been totally, radically changed. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. So we wanted to talk about the next thing then, that fully initiated, born again, the three baptisms. But then the next thing you need to know is the will of God that he's revealed in his word. Aren't you glad God was so wise that he wrote down his word and he gave it to us like this? Thank you, Jesus. He gave us a book all about who he is. He reveals his mind, his heart. You can get in here and you can, it's a living word. It says, my words are spirit and they are life. So you can go. You get tired, you can get mouth-to-mouth resuscitation by just, you can devour the word. Get the word. It's life and it's spirit. It's powerful. It's, well, it looks like letters on a page, Pastor. I don't get that. I'm telling you, if you let the Holy Spirit illuminate to you, it is so much more. The word of God is powerful and it'll work in your heart. And in your life. So there's four basic forms of revelation. First one is general revelation in nature. You can look at nature. You can look at creation. And obviously, somebody did this, right? Like, I mean, if I showed you something created, you'd be, like, even this. I mean, how many think somebody made this? Actually, nobody made it. It crawled out of the primordial slime. And it just we let it sit here over millions of years, and it came into manifestation. How cool is that? How many have actually been able to study something for millions of years? Nobody. So, makes perfect sense. If you put in the millions and billions of years stuff, makes perfect sense. You know, but it's like saying I went into the woods and there was nothing there. But I put dynamite all over the place. Then I walked back out in the parking lot and I went, ka-bang! Then I walked back in the woods and I had a log cabin with flush toilets. I mean, it had beautiful porcelain, you know, flooring all through and beautiful wood and everything. And then there was this beautiful shower that had 500 faucets. I get in and just had the shower of your life. And it's so awesome. And it just, bang, it just came into creation, perfect order. Creation reveals somebody did this. So there's a massive revelation. There's a specific revelation. God spoke to us through his son, Jesus. He specifically spoke to us through his son. Then there's biblical revelation we talked about last week. And today I want to talk to you about spirit revelation, extra-biblical, spiritual, direct revelation from God himself. Did you know that God speaks to you? How many hear voices? Often the Lord speaks to me. It sounds a lot like my wife. I don't know what it is. So we talked about the word last week. It's the Bible. The Bible is inerrant, plenary, inspired. It's the absolute word of God. We talked about that word in 2 Timothy 3:16. It's all inspired by God. And then we talked about the enemy. The enemy wants to attack the word. He tries to take away the word. The very first attack that you experience is when you get a revelation from the word, you go, man, I think this is God. This is really good. I believe this. All of a sudden, the enemy goes, oh, come on, don't be ridiculous. He tries to steal the word right away. Right away in Genesis, the first thing he did, the first thing the devil did when he came to mankind, he said, did God really say? And so he's trying to take the word of God out of your life because the word's powerful. In 1 Samuel, it says, when the Philistines, which were a type of the enemy, they came in and they tried to take away the blessing of God from the Israelites. And it says that they took all the blacksmiths out of there so they couldn't make any swords. So if you take the word of God out of believers' hands, they are just like anybody else. They are victims of every silly thing that goes on in their life. Because when you have the word, you can speak the word of God. And the word of God on your mouth can declare and can shape your world. And you need the word. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's how Jesus battled the enemy in the wilderness. He said, the word of God says, the word of God says, the word of God says. And there's times when you see the word of God, and if it's not manifesting in your life, the enemy's going to come and lie to you and tell you it's not going to work for you. You got to rise up right then, and you got to say, no way, I will trust the word. I'm going to honor the word. God's word will never, ever fail. I believe this. You confess it. You declare it. You speak it, and you will see your world change. Why? Because the whole world exists because of word. Everything exists because of word. God made it that way. It's all about word. So word is how you create every single thing in your world, because I am a living spirit. I am a spiritual being that has the same spirit of faith as God Almighty had. And because I have that same spirit of faith, I speak. What do I speak? I speak the word of God. So you got to know the word of God, because the word of God is the will of God for you. Can I get an amen from two more people? Awesome. That was good right there. All right, so we went on to Joshua 1:8, one of my favorite verses. It says, the book of the law shall not depart out of your head. The book of the Lord shall stay on your coffee table. The book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. Because you'll meditate on it. You'll regurgitate it. You'll just... You get the word, you work on it, you mutter it, you mull it over, you get it in your spirit, you pack it down, you push it down. And when you get that going in your life, it says, then you will observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous. And then you, it's all about you, 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 you. I want my way to be prosperous. Then get on with it. Because you know what? That is an agreement with the power and the purpose of God. He does too. He delights in the prosperity of his servants. Amen. Okay, settle down. I know you're excited. All right, so we looked at how it works, real easy how it works, meditation, revelation, activation. You hug it, you mutter, you ponder, you get an apocalypse or a fotizo, you get a revelation. Man, I really believe this. I was speaking it, and all of a sudden, holy cow, it's getting from my mouth down into my spirit. It's on my heart, it's on my lips. Everything's coming in the line, everything's lining up with the heavens. Then all of a sudden, pow, there's a manifestation. You start walking out what you believe in your heart, and you confess with your mouth. Get me an amen there, Pastor. All right, so now we want to talk about being led by the Spirit of God, hearing the voice of God. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our head that we are children of God. Spirit of God bears witness with my mother that I'm a child of God. Spirit of God bears witness with my pastor that I'm a child of God. Well, the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. You're spiritually born again. How many have got born again and the Bible meant nothing to you before? Even hearing from God or getting even intimations in the spirit didn't mean anything to you before. But now suddenly you open your Bible and this stuff means stuff to me now. It's working in my life. Anybody? That's because when you're spiritually alive, that's how it all begins to connect. It says the Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit. There's a spirit that's been born again, and that born-again spirit now is communion with the Spirit of God and begins to testify and manifest that you are children of God. Psalm 143, verse 10, David said, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. May your spirit teach me. So I've got the word, and that's good, but I need the spirit to illuminate it. I need the spirit to lead me, to guide me, and to speak to me, and bring into manifestation this word in my life. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of a man, the factor of human personality, it proceeds immediately from God. That factor that proceeds immediately from God, being born again, a new spiritual man, that factor is the lamp of the Lord. That's how he searches my inward parts. That's how I communicate with God, spirit to spirit. God is spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. If you're not born again, you cannot have that spirit working in you, and you cannot have communion with the Spirit of God. John 8:47. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. Hello. So when I'm preaching, that means I should be smiling. Oh, smiles out there, happy people. If I don't see smiles and happy people, woohoo! We should have a big altar call, because it says people born again listen gladly to the words of God. Just turn to your neighbor and see if they're smiling. All right, if they're not, take them in this prayer. In Jesus' name. See, it says they gladly listen to the word of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God. Oh, my goodness. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. You don't listen because you don't belong to God. You are tuned into the frequency of heaven. You are. When you're born again, you are tuned into the frequency of heaven. I remember this guy down in the south in Tennessee brought a brand new radio, beautiful brand new radio, and he tuned it into the station for the Grand Ole Opry, and then he knocked all the knobs off. And they said, what are you doing? He said, I don't need nothing else. That's all I want to hear, all I want to listen to, and don't want anybody coming in here and messing around with my radio. It's hooked up on the Grand Ole Opry, and that's where it's going to stay. Brand new radio. Some of you need to chop the frequencies. You need to line up and get in the frequency of God and cut everything off and say, I'm not listening to anything else. It says in Corinthians, it says there's many voices in the world, many. But it says you are hooked up to the voice of God. You need to get lined up with that frequency. That's it. That's the only frequency you need, and you need to get hooked up with him. All right, turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. Number 11. Number 11, you have won a door prize. Hallelujah. Number 11 has a door prize, and it will look just like your child. Your child is holding that right now in the nursery. Amen. Wonder what kind of prize your child has for you. Depends how big the huggy is, I suppose. Anyway, John chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, starting at verse 1. Come on, who's got your Bible? Go there. It's good for you. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold or by the door, but climbs in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the door opens, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name to lead them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Can I get an amen? Verse 16, and there are other sheep that I have which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. Jesus was sent to minister only to the Jews at that time, but what Jesus is referring to is there is another flock that's coming in. There are more sheep that belong to this fold. They will come in. That's us. That's the Gentiles. That's believers after the cross. That means, and guess what it says? It says there will be one flock and one shepherd. The wall has been torn down between Jew and Gentile. There is one flock. There is one shepherd. There is one heavenly Jerusalem. There is one church of the living God. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. If you got a problem with that, talk to him. But that's us. He's bringing us in. So, you know, we can hear his voice. Verse 27 again. Go down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Listen now, hearing God is not something you do. Hearing God is something you are. Hearing God isn't something you do. Hearing God is something you are. That's weird, Pastor. Why? Because we are sheep. Bah. It doesn't say my shepherds hear my voice. I will speak to them. They will speak to you. You will follow them. It doesn't say that. Do you know what I am? I'm a sheep. And in amongst the sheep, he's given me a responsibility as an under shepherd to be somebody who teaches the word and helps people learn the word. But here's the word I want you to learn. You're a sheep. You know his voice. Here's the word I want you to get. He speaks directly to you. He doesn't come through me. I am not your high priest. I am a pastor. But what I do to equip you as a pastor is I put you in line with the Almighty God so that you yourself, no matter where you are every day of your life, you got a direct line to the Almighty, and you don't need me to find truth for you. But there's a lot of people that they hear the voice of God and it comes through this certain vehicle. That's wacky. There's a lot of pastors who think they are, I am the word of God to you. Get over yourself, honestly. You know, the purpose of a pastor is to equip people in the word and to bring them to the shepherd, to hook them up to Jesus. That's my job. My job isn't to make some whacked out codependent relationship where, what do I do now, Pastor? Oh my goodness, what do I do now? What should I do, Pastor? I go, let's talk to Jesus. And then I say, what's he saying to you? Well, I think he's saying this. I think you're right. Unless you say something stupid, then I do have to take out my pastoral stick and beat you. But no, my wife just looked at me cross-eyed like, you know, like, I don't have a pastoral stick. It's actually a knife. Okay, so. Amen. The word is sharp. Get that in there. Cut that out. Boom. Are we having a revival in the nursery? What's going on? What's out? Some kind of flu bug. They're having a crappy meeting. I don't know if I... No! Man! I'm sorry. All right. Amen. Oh, God, help us. All right, so let's move on to hearing the voice of God. You ready? My sheep hear my voice, right? Number one, hearing the voice of God, it's innate. The word innate means it came with you. You were created to hear his voice. It was right inside of you. It's not something you got to get or try to find or try to figure out or get through 35 seminars. It is there. You have the ability to hear. Now, with natural kids, my kids had the ability to hear. Now, sometimes there is things like deafness. You need to get healed of that. If there's spiritual deafness, you need to get healed of that too. But, you know, my children were right away born with the ability to hear. They could hear me. I used to speak to my daughter and my son in my wife's belly. I used to, how you doing down there? I want them to know my voice. I want them to experience that I'm your papa. And I wanted them to know that way ahead of time. And so I'd talk to them and see if I could get them to kick Cheryl's belly. Kick your mom's belly. Come on. Show your dad that he's awesome. Come on. Give a kick for me. Whoop, whoop. But your kids, it's innate. They're ready to hear your voice. You were created to hear the voice of God. What's so interesting is like in Greece and in the Mediterranean area, and those things where they have a lot of shepherding and all that. Over here, you know, we have dogs. You get the dog going, woof, woof, and the dogs run around, woof, 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 and they're barking at the dogs, and the sheep are all terrified. You know, they're all, ah, the dog's coming, oh my God. And the shepherd, he's behind and go, smarten up, whack, whack, whack. But over there, the sheep follow. And what's interesting is over there you can have these shepherds. They can all come together, and you see all these sheep come from one way, and you see all these sheep come from another way, and you see all these sheep come from another way, and then all these sheep come from over there, and then all these sheep come, and these five shepherds come together, and they sit there and have some lunch together, talk and laugh and tell those, you know, inside jokes that only shepherds know, you know. And so they're having a nice day, and then all of a sudden it's time to go. And the one guy goes, well, fellas, what an awesome day. I got to get back. You ready? Hep, 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 hep. And he walks out, and all of a sudden, whole bunch of sheep just come out of that crowd and they just follow him. And he didn't have to get behind them. He doesn't have a dog. He just kind of walks out, walking along. And all these sheep come walking out of the pack. Then the other guy goes, and all of a sudden, they all start following him. Then he goes, wah, 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 wah. That was the Duck Dynasty shepherd. But, you know, you just, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Another one I won't follow. I mean, Jesus taught that because he was in a culture where they would get that because they experienced that and they saw that. They went, oh, it's like a sheep. The sheep immediately, they don't have to get driven or anything, but the sheep know the sound of their shepherd. So you know, you can hear the voice of God. Listen, if you hear nothing else today, listen to this. You can hear. It is built into you. You were created with it. You have a massive speaker. You have the capacity, ability, and the nature to hear the voice of God. And if you don't hear it, call 1-888-745-PROPHET. Hello, Fred. I don't know what to do. Oh, my God. People making money off that. It's wrong. Teach people to hear. You can hear. Jesus said you can hear. You can hear the voice of God. Number two, it's learned. I thought it was innate. It is innate, but then it's learned. You see, my daughter could hear right away, but then we needed to develop a language so that we could express things, and she could understand, and we could understand. And so we had to communicate with other. We had to use the language. I've been sitting with people. I was sitting with a parent one time, and the son was coming. I go, and I was like, I didn't know what that means. And I'm looking at them, and all of a sudden she said, use your words. Use your words. But I saw that here was a mother saying, we're not going to live in the goo goo gaga anymore. I used to, when you were a little baby, you went, it's full down here. And I used to take care of you. And then when you were hungry, you went, wah. But you know what? You're not like that anymore. I showed you how to use the potty. I showed you how to open the fridge and get yourself a glass of milk. We've talked. We've communicated. Use your words. What do you want? If you can't get it yourself, then we can communicate and we can do it. You know what? If me as a father wants my child to grow up and have a relationship with me that's more productive, it would be a terrible thing if I had a 27-year-old daughter who had to change her diapers every day. Does she have every privilege of being my daughter? Do I love her? Is she my daughter in every sense of the word? Absolutely. But if God still has to change your diaper on the fundamental issues of the faith every day, use your words. What are you doing? Come on. It's time to step into the proper language. It's time to use things. Like, I can swing a golf club. It's not pretty. I can make contact with the ball, and I don't know where it goes sometimes. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. It's all good fun. But, you know, I was at the golf course with Kevin once, and Kevin was in, and Kevin was having a bad day. But anyways, I don't know why he always has a bad day with me. I'm not sure why, because anyway, I don't know what that's all about. But then he was telling the pro about something. The pro said, have you tried this? And suddenly when the pro started telling him, giving him hints, I leaned in and said, I want to know what the pro has to say. Why? Because I value the words of the pro because he's a pro. What is a pro? It's somebody who gets paid for what they do. I actually get paid for preaching the word. So anyway, thought I'd throw that out there. But you know, when you're golfing, you do want to learn stuff. Although it's innate, it's totally innate, you know what? Sometimes you need to get some instruction. And you need to instruct your children. We don't want our kids growing up helpless and hopeless. Even Almighty God created you, and he wants you to flesh out and to discover all the wonderful things he created about you. He doesn't want you to be helpless and hopeless. He wants you to grow into maturity, and he wants you to use your words. Wants you to grow. So you're in a relationship and you can learn. Number three. It's matured. You learn it. It's a language. You learn. You grow in it. Children have to learn to communicate. Some can understand the language, but they're not mature. See, sometimes your kids learn the language, but they're not mature with the language. Like my daughter learned the language really fast. Before she was two, she used the word vanished. It was really awesome. I was like, where did that toy go? What happened to it? She said, Daddy, the toy vanished. And I was like, it vanished? I don't use vanished. Where'd you get vanished from? And she had a bigger vocabulary than I did it, too. It was crazy. But she had a great vocabulary, but it wasn't really mature. Because my daughter, we went down to a cafe, and we're in this cafe, and there was a very large woman. I wish I could say large man, because sometimes people think I always pick on women. And I don't. Okay, just. But this happened to be, like, a very large woman. And, I mean, easily 500 pounds. Big. And we walked into this cafe, and I'm like, hey, how are you today? Oh, good, good. Yeah, you're at the Bible school too. Yeah, so good. Nice to meet you. How you doing? And Carly just went, hey, lady, you are really fat. I just went, you know, she's very gracious. So she said, you know, you are absolutely right. I'm a really big woman, and I am very fat. She was very gracious, but I was like, oh. Carly knew how to use her words. We came back from our Christmas break one time, and we used to have a guy share taking our kids back and forth to school. And he was also the worship pastor at the church. And so he picked Carly up, took her to school, and it was his day to bring him back. And then when I came back, I said, hey, good to see you. You know, took Carly. Carly ran inside. And I said, how you guys doing? What'd you do on your break? He says, we went down to Disneyland. He says, I hear you guys did too. And I went, really? He said, yeah. I went, no. No? I went, no. He said, yeah. I said, no. He said, but your daughter explained Disneyland perfectly. She told us all about the Pirates of the Caribbean, told us all. He says, the way she explained it, she had to be there. I go, it was a spiritual journey. It was. Sorry, honey. I told you ahead of time I was going to pick on you. Hey, it's all right. You still love me, don't you? Okay. Show me the love eyes then. Don't look at me like that. Okay, so. But, you know, we're like that. You know, and you can have all the privileges of being born again, and yes, you do. But you know what? You got to still got to learn, and you still got to mature, and you still got to take responsibility to grow up. And you got to take responsibility to hear the voice of God for yourself. So it is learned. Now, we're going to go back a couple of slides just because I went too fast. Did we? Go back. We just go real quick to 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 and 4. It says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were rare. And that word rare doesn't necessarily just have to mean there weren't a lot of them. Rare, that word rare also means the word of the Lord was precious. The word of the Lord was so sweet. The word of the Lord was something we revered and we honored the voice of God. The word of the Lord was rare and visions were not very common. But one night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, he'd gone to his bed. And the lamp of God was not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. And suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel, Samuel. See, and then he has this exercise. You can read it in 1 Samuel 3, but he has this exercise. He runs to Eli because he thinks it's his voice. And he says, no, that wasn't me. Go back and sit down. But on the third time, he said, man, this kid's hearing the voice of God. And he said, go back. And this time say, Lord, it is your servant. I am listening. See, you are equipped to hear the voice of God. You need to learn what that's all about. You need to hear his voice. And sometimes you need that spiritual mentor in your life and people that help you understand that journey. But you can hear the voice of God. It's innate and it's learned. It says in the end of that chapter, it says, so Samuel grew. Say grew. So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and he let none of his words fall to the ground. Isn't that amazing? God, every time Samuel spoke, God watched over the word of Samuel. How crazy is that? Not once did Samuel speak that God didn't back up the word of Samuel. He watched over the word of Samuel. He established him as a prophet. The Lord appeared to him in Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. He heard the voice of God. Now listen, back in that culture, there were a few prophets. God wants every one of you to be prophets. God wants every one of you to be like Samuel. God wants you to be so hooked up with him that literally God says, I'll watch over your words. Where you start to get so hooked up with God that your words, your mind, your heart, your will, every part of you is so aligned with him and brought into such maturity that when you speak, all of heaven lines up your word. And that's where God wants to get us to in our understanding of the word of God. So it's innate, it's learned, and it's matured. Now there's immature patterns though. There's immature patterns. You ready? Now here's, I call the first one the holy moment by moment. Have you ever known anybody who's the holy moment by moment? I've seen even preachers like that, that they're like, yeah, hallelujah, just a minute. Yes, Holy Spirit? Oh, I'll tell them right now. La, 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 la. And I go, that's nice, I guess. And I guess if you want to preach like that, that's good. But I talked to the Lord before, so he didn't have to interrupt me while I'm preaching. So, but I mean, not preachers. I mean, but there are people. You ever been around people? Are you coming? You know, I was going to come. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me 2 minutes ago, and now I'm not sure if I'm going. Oh, no, hold on. I am going now. Okay, but I can't go. If I'm going to go with you, yes, Holy Spirit, I guess I have to sit in the passenger side, not in the back seat. Is that right? Yes, Lord, hallelujah. And it's like the holy moment by moment believers. And whenever you're around them, they're so spiritual, you feel like you're an imp. You know, it's like, and you know, God does speak your own language, but some of that is just kind of weird hocus-pocus believers who are just really trying to impress you. And I'm not that impressed. Anyway, then there's the pin-the-tail-on-the-Bible believers. Lord, I need revelation today. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. And you shall take the body and cut it up in 12 pieces and send it to all 12 tribes of Israel. And his wife said to him, curse God and die. Sorry to make fun of that, but it's wrong. Okay? And then there's, it is what it is, dude. Like, God can do whatever he wants, man. I just trust him, and he'll just work it out. It's all good. And I like the phrase, it's all good. And I like the phrase, it is what it is. But often when I say it is what it is, it's because I'm going like, I just don't want to talk anymore. You're not going to pay attention anyway. So It is what it is, dude. No. Did I let that out? Did I confess that I do that? No. If I ever say it again, so you're like, you just said it is what it is, dude. Oh, did I? Oh. Anyways. Okay. But I just do that because there's some people who get weird about the voice of God. It's not weird. It's as normal as breathing. Hearing the voice of God, it's not something strange, awkward. You don't have to be creepy and weird. You can hear the voice of God. Amen. That's all I did that for. I didn't do that to hurt anybody. If you are a pin the tail on the Bible person, stop it. Okay, let's go. Let's go to the next one. You ready? We got to move on because we got to go. All right, so Habakkuk 2, 1 to 2. I could have picked so many passages in the Bible, so many places. I mean, there's places where the voice of the Lord came as a gentle whisper before Moses. There's so many places where the still small voice, I mean, so many places where God speaks. But I want to give you just a quick little pattern for hearing the voice of God. I'm going to hang my hat here. Are you ready? Habakkuk 2, 1 to 2. I will stand in my watch and I will set myself on the rampart. I mean, literally, Habakkuk was complaining. He was saying, God, they talk about revivals. They talk about where you were before. I that's nice and it's all good, but I don't care where you were. I want you here now. I want to see God move mightily now in my day. And he was kind of complaining a bit. And then he said, okay, I've complained. Now you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop now and I'm going to pay attention. And he said, I will stand in my watch. I will set myself on the rampart. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision down and make it plain. I just want to, from this little interaction of this prophet with the voice of God, just give you some little boundaries, just something to help you. Because some people just need to, well, how do I do this? How do I practice the voice of God? You know, you should value the voice of God in your life. Just like when that golf pro started to speak about how to swing better, I leaned in really fast. I stopped everything I was doing and I leaned in because I said, he is going to tell me how to golf better, and Lord knows I need to hear that. So you see, I want to lean in. You need to value the voice of God. It's the most important thing that you have going in your life. It's the one thing that distinguishes you powerfully in the earth is that you're hooked up to the voice of God. In fact, when you talk to a policeman was asked one time, he said, what is the most important thing that you possess? What is the most important thing that you have as an officer to help you and to propel you in doing what you do as a police officer? He said, the most important thing I possess is my radio. And that's because your radio hooks you up to head office. Your radio hooks you up so you're communicating with others. Your radio, if you're in a place of trouble, you get on your radio and say, hello, I need some help down here. Here's what's going on. And you need your radio. Because sometimes you might have your gun, but you're in front of a bunch of people and they've got 40 guns. Oops, I need a radio. Help! Okay, so best thing you have is your ability to communicate with God. That is such an amazing thing, and you need to grow in it. And that's how you know the specific will of God for your life is God speaks to you. Wouldn't you like to, you're looking for a new job, and there's three places that you can go. Three places have offered you a job, but you don't know, and nobody else really knows, but the head office over in Wagga Wagga Land has already decided that 6 months from now, two of those businesses are going to close, and really only one of them is going to be sustainable in the future. But you don't know that. But you know what? The Holy Ghost knows that. And you know what you can say? You won't find in your Bible, you know, go to X company. You won't find that, but you can go to the Lord Almighty because he cares about you. He's committed to provide for you. He's committed to care for you. And you can talk to him about your job. You can talk to him about your choices. And literally, he will give you out, man, not that company, man, not that company, that company. And you can go, wow, I got the peace of God on that one. You know, God can clearly speak to you. You can have three girls just chasing you down. They want to date you. And if you're married, you say no. Okay. Because you don't need a revelation for that. You know what I mean? And I mean, if two of them are ugly and one's cute, you don't need a revelation for that either. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways. But I mean, you know, like, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, obtains favor from the Lord. It's all good. You know, you're looking for a mate. You're looking for a partner. I mean, you can talk to God about that. You won't find it in here. Zerubbabel. It's not going to work. But you can talk to him, and the voice of the Spirit will speak to you, and he'll help you. Can I get an amen? Is this helpful for anybody? All right, quickly, you ready? Here, we're going to give you the handles really fast. Here it is, right here. Boom. Here's the mature approach. I value the voice of God. Number one, prepare to meet with God. Well, I don't have to prepare to meet with God. He always loves me, always likes me. I can meet with him wherever I want. Yes, you can. And if you want to continue to meet with him to have your diaper changed, that's wonderful. But if you want to meet with God and step into new levels of revelation and connect with him and hook up with his eternal purpose in the earth, he would like you to prepare for your appointments. He'd like you to get into his word. He'd like you to actually make an appointment and give him some specific time. He'd like you to block something out and say, Father, I'm going to come and meet with you. I want to hear from you. I'm going to get into your word, and I'm going to prepare my heart to meet with you. You look in the Bible, and anybody who had a massive encounter with God, they prepared themselves. Something was going on in their life that prepared them and got them in that journey. Some had massive things like the Apostle Paul, but most of those were prepared meetings. Number two, pay attention, be still. I'm going to set myself on my rampart. I'm going to stand here now. There's a place I always go to meet with God. And I'm going to fix myself there. I'm going to sit there. And I'm going to hang out. Lord, I'm going to wait here. I'm going to wait on you now. I'm going to be still. And I'm going to let you speak to me. I have a red couch in my office. I love that couch. And I like to lay down to hear the voice of God. And sometimes I fall asleep. But what's amazing is there's sometimes actually, even in that sleep, Lord speaks me through dreams. And there's so many ways the voice of the Lord can speak to you. And there's ways God can touch you. I don't always fall asleep. I usually go there and I really just lay down and meditate. And I'm listening. I put the word on. And I'm listening to the word. And I'm listening to that. And I'm having a meeting with God. And then I'll turn that off and I'll just lay there and go, speak to me, Father. Talk to me. And it's so amazing how he can talk to you. And you know, if you'll prepare to meet with him, if you'll pay attention and be still. And then here's the next thing. Read and pray. Read and pray. I got into your word and I prayed. I got into your word and I'm talking to you. Read and pray. What do I ask God about? What's on your heart? Because you know what? Whatever's on your heart, he's concerned about. Should I pray about Stephen Harper? If Stephen Harper's on your heart, pray about Stephen Harper. But if he's not on your heart, pray about what's on your heart. Well, where should I read in the Bible? Like, what part of the Bible should I read? Read the middle part, the part on the inside. Read the inside part. And it's good to find systematic ways to study the word, but read the inside. All right. Pastor, this is so complicated. I know. I know all the big and mighty preachers make it complicated. I'm just too simple for that. Read the Bible, get into the word, pray, talk to God, and then do this. This is really important. You know what I love is, I didn't bring my phone with me, but I love my phone. But my phone has the Bible on it. It's got everything on it. I mean, I can actually push the button and the Bible will read to me. And what's really cool is I can take the King James and it'll read in a voice like Richard Burton. And it's so cool, you know. The earth was out without form and void. And the Lord spoke and the Spirit moved over the waters. It's so cool. It sounds, I don't know, I think God sounds better with an accent. But another thing is neat that I got notes. I can actually be there anywhere, just taking a moment out with God, and I can actually just put notes. I keep my Bible. I keep my phone beside me when I go to bed, and I can wake up in the middle of the night and I can type notes on it. And I can send those notes to my other computers. It's so cool. But you know what? When you're having encounters with God, write it down. Write it down. Listen to God, and write it down. Are you ready? Here's a mature approach. I value the voice of God. Say, I value the voice of God. And God can speak to you about every detail of your life, and he wants to. You need to judge and test sometimes what you hear. You might hear something wrong. Like I said, that lady who said, I'm supposed to marry that man. Well, that man's married to that woman, so that wouldn't be God. So sometimes you need to bounce that off of somebody else. And that's a good thing to have partners who you can put things through and test what you're hearing. Amen? But you know what? As you test what you're hearing, you find that you'll get better. Good. Okay, so here's my last slide. Here it is, John 8:47. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But if you don't listen, it's because you don't belong to God. Are you tuned into the frequency of heaven? You see, anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to his voice. And if you're born again, you can hear his voice. Would you stand up with me? Come on, I just want you all to just be praying right now. Just be praying right now. Jesus. You know, God loves you, each and every one of you here right now. And he created you to hear his voice. And he created you to enjoy him. And he created you for a good life. He really does. He's got wonderful plans and purposes for you. But for them to be walked out, you do have to be born again. You do have to, because without his spirit, creating that brand new spirit in you, you can never really know his voice. You can never really hear him. And if you're born again, you can hear his voice. It's innate. It's there. But you know what? If you're not born again, you can be born again today. You can be made spiritually alive today, and we can lead you into the knowledge of saving grace. And the word will explode to you, and you'll begin to hear very, very clearly your Heavenly Father's voice. And he will lead you, and he will guide you, and he will direct you. But let me say it again, if you do not know him as your personal Savior, if you haven't allowed the Spirit of God to baptize you into the body of Christ, You won't hear his voice. I want you to hear his voice. I want you to be born again. So I'm going to pray for you today. But before I do, I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to go 1, 2, 3. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, or if you're just not sure, or you're saying today, man, I want to know. I want to hear God's voice. I want to get hooked up with his purpose for me. Nobody's looking around there. Everybody's minding their own business, and you're minding yours. But right now, what you feel is God tugging on your heart and saying, I want to know you. I want you to be a child of God. And so right now, I'm going to count to three. If you know that you need to make that prayer with me, you're going to put your hand up on the count of three. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. All over. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Thank you. Put your hands up. Right now. Put your hands up. Wow, I got several folks put their hands up. That's good. Would you all pray with me now? And you put your hand up, you pray with me. You didn't put your hand up, you should have put your hand up, you pray with me. We're going to pray. And through this prayer, is it just that simple? Yeah, you're going to acknowledge right now. You're just going to ask God to come. You're going to ask him by the power of the Spirit to come and cause you to be born again. And because of what Jesus did on the cross for you, your sins are forgiven and you'll be brought into a living, abiding relationship with him. Are you ready? Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins. I thank you that you're risen. You're alive today. And you've made a way for me to be reconciled to my Father. I receive you right now as my Lord and my Savior. I believe it in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth that you are the Lord of all. So come, live inside of me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you right now that because I've received you, you've given me the power to be a child of God. I receive you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, that was pretty good. Now, if you did that, I want you to look at me. If you did that, and I want you to hear this right now. All your sins are forgiven. Totally. Totally free. Totally delivered. Man. And you know what? Now, every single privilege of a child of God, it's yours. He loves you. He's committed to you. He'll never leave you or forsake you.